Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about a lot of things that is just not in the collective consciousness of the people today. They have gone out of the way. They have gone contrary to the ways of Christ, contrary to the ways of Moses, contrary to the ways of Abraham. In our book, Thy Kingdom Comes, we show how all the great religions of the world today, all the religions of the world today, stem back to Abraham. Yet many of those same religions that claim Abraham, just like the Jews at the time of Jesus Christ claimed Abraham, Muslims claim Abraham. And the truth is, if you go into the Hindu religion and the Buddhist religion, they actually stem back to the teachings of Abraham, believe it or not. And we show this in the archaeological and historical records, that this all goes back to this guy Abraham, who was an extremely influential individual in his time. But all these religions seem so different, but they all trace their origins back to this guy Abraham. And one of the problems is nobody knows what Abraham was really doing. And believe it or not, what Abraham was doing was what Christ was telling us to do. And what Moses was doing. Moses and Jesus were clearly in agreement. But the Pharisees had twisted what Moses was doing and what Abraham was doing to something else. This animal sacrifice and killing animals and burning them up. And your modern Christians think that that's what that was all about. And really what that was about is about people taking care of people through charity. Through the perfect law of liberty. That's what it says in the New Testament. Through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. But you don't do that. You take care of the needy of your society and fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man, which is the definition of religion for hundreds of years. You do that through men who exercise authority, one over the other. And what they're going to do when you do that, because that's a rejection of God, that's a rejection of Christ. What they're going to do is they're going to take and take and take and take and take. They're going to drag you into the world of debt. And they're going to lie to you and misuse you and create instruments of war to distract you and take your sons and daughters. And they're going to do all these things. And you're going to cry out in your churches and God's not going to hear you. As a matter of fact, you're going to think you're the faithful, that you believe in Jesus. But he's going to say to you, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Because you're actually doing iniquity. You're accomplishing the responsibility, or trying to. You actually won't accomplish it. And this is what we're going to be seeing more and more of. This shutdown is the tip of the iceberg. It's not even real. You're going to find, and they already are finding it, people on Social Security, old people not being taken care of. Your new health care is going to cause the death of thousands and thousands and thousands of people because it's going to promote euthanasia. It's going to refuse care to people who could actually use it because it takes common sense out of it. It's ordinances and doctrines that are created by men who don't know you, don't love you, and don't care about you. And your communities are divided because of this, because you don't look to your neighbor, you look to somebody 3,000 miles away. I live on the west coast, and Washington, D.C. is on the east coast, so it's 3,000 miles away. And what was that line of Mel Gibson in The Patriot? That why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away. You see, the tyranny in Washington, D.C. is what you deserve. because you're all a bunch of little tyrants. That's right. You are a bunch of little tyrants. I'm telling you that because I love you. And that's what you do when you love somebody. You rebuke those. Because you think it's okay to send your children to public education at the expense of your neighbor because you don't pay enough taxes to pay for their education. And you think that's okay. But that's coveting your neighbor's goods. And because you covet your neighbor's goods, Peter says that you will be made merchandise in human resources. You will become a surety for debt. And that's what you've done. You've become a surety for debt. And you deserve to be in bondage. That's what you deserve. You deserve to be in bondage. I wrote this morning, I was pointing out that the 1900 schools are, in 1900, most of the schools are privately funded. Even still today, 69% of firefighters is volunteer. And it used to be 100%, and still is in some countries. It says you cannot provide charity through a system that collects contributions through force or operates in debt, which is just more force. But somehow other people think that they could do that, and that's slothful, avaristic thinking. And that's the problem. You're the problem. There's a famous line Ronald Reagan said that in the modern situation, that the problem can't be solved by government because the problem is government. No, he's actually wrong. I understand where he's coming from on that. The problem is you. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not making straight the way of the Lord. You're going to your churches with guys like Joel Osteen and stuff. Very uplifting sermons. Very makes you feel good. Got thousands of people coming to his church. Making people feel good. Making them think that they're saved. Making them think that they're servants of Christ. But they're actually all go home and they're workers of iniquity. Because how many people in his church are on welfare? How many people and if you're sending your kids to public school, you're on welfare. That's right. If you send your kids to public school, that's welfare. That's what welfare is, isn't it? People paying for your benefits. Well, it doesn't matter if it's an EBT card or WIC or what some of the other things. I don't even know all the benefits you can get. Health care. Or education. Or fire department. That's all welfare. That's all socialism. And so, you're on welfare if you're sending your kids to public school. You see, that's how they crept in. When they first started to create public schools, there was actually violence. People resisted it. They didn't want, in many areas, they wouldn't send their kids to public school. And they're trying to make it a law you have to send your kids to public school. They have in many countries. People are actually fleeing countries in the New World Order already because, and trying to come here. And they're being sent back because your government is saying there is no fundamental right to teach your children. Yet, if you go and read the actual fundamental rights published by the United Nations, they say that you do. Parent has a fundamental right over the education of his children. Yeah, America and the world is setting itself up for great tyranny, great destruction. And they're creating a whole system of people that actually think that working in the government is a good career choice. When working in the government, that they have formed for themselves. See, working in the government used to be being that volunteer fireman. Because you were a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. So you were a volunteer fireman because you were the people. And if you went on a fire or you needed extra equipment, the people who weren't volunteer firemen volunteered to pay for it. And when you went on the fire and you were putting out the fire, people came by and volunteered to help you and support you. And we used to do that. We don't do that anymore. Because we all become a bunch of little tyrants. somebody wrote, and rightfully so, about this whole idea of individual responsibility. And I wrote, if we are going to find a solution rather than wait for modern, wait for modern government to find it for us, we have to fundamentally change the way we form our view of government and community and therefore our relationships to it. That's right. We have to change. That's what repentance means. Repentance means that we have to change the way we are doing things, and the way we are seeing things. And if we don't, nothing's going to change at all. And when we change, we have to change for the better, which means we have to go back and take back our responsibilities. Responsibilities for what we do, for what we say, and what we think, and be responsible to our neighbors. And the beautiful thing about this is you can do this slowly. So we have a thing we call a congregation of record, and we call it CORE, C-O-R-E, CORE. But it's really a congregation of recorded elders. In other words, the elders decide, and this is based on the government of God at the time of Jesus Christ, at the time of Moses, and at the time of Abraham, what they were actually doing. They would get together, heads of families, because the family was the institution created by God. He created it in nature, and he created it, Adam and Eve, no more twain, from the beginning. This is the building block of the kingdom of God, his family. Because a family produces more families. All society is produced in the family. So family is king, and every head of every household should be king. And every queen, every wife, is queen in that household. King and queen within that household. And the king determines who the high priest is. And the high priest usually ends up, as the father becomes older and his sons grow up, he takes the eldest son, and he's the high priest of the family. But if we're going to create a family of families, a nation, that's what a nation is a gathering of families. How do you bind those families together? If you bind them by contract before a ruling body, even in a democracy, then you're binding them by covenants. And we are told to have no covenants with them nor with the people. Nor with the gods of the people, the ruling judges of the people. This is what the Bible is saying in the Old Testament. But that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're having covenants with the gods and with the people around about you. And that's not the government of God. That's the anti-government of God. That is anti-Christ. What is the government of God is that you don't make covenants with them, but you gather together in the perfect law of liberty and faith, hope, and charity. In other words, the only bonds between elder and elder, heads of families and heads of families, is the bonds of love. That's it. No other bonds between you other than the bonds of love. Now, actually, there is another bond that can come between you, but it's still based on love. Is when your son marries his daughter, or your daughter marries his son, they begin to produce children, and there is a truce between you. There is a binding between you, but that is, again, based on love, not on contract. You don't have any responsibility as father of your son to the family of your son's wife. You have a responsibility still to your son. If he were to die and they had children, you should take care of his wife because you're the father of the father. But now you've made the state your father. And the state will come in and take your children. And Jesus said not to make the state your father, not the fathers of the earth. They'll call no man father, but my father in heaven. And how do you do that? 10 fathers, elders of families, gather together and learn to bind themselves by love, by self-sacrifice. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Okay, you men who aren't married and you women who aren't married, you should still find yourself a congregation and start helping those families in those congregations so that you become Auntie Lucy or Uncle Joe to those families. Because that's your social welfare in the kingdom of God, is those bonds of love and caring. And if you want to move to another community, you can still do that, but you find another group that is connected to this network of ministers who seek to be servants rather than rulers over you. This is the government of God. This is the straight way that John the Baptist was talking about. If your neighbor needed a coat, you supplied it through charity. You didn't supply it through a government that exercised authority. This is what Christ said. You are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. He said you're not to be that way. He used to be highest amongst you in your government of God is to be a servant. So he created this and appointed ministers to serve the people, to feed his sheep, to take care of the needy, to be health, education, and welfare. This is what Christianity was. This is what Moses was doing. This is what Abraham was doing with his altars. And we show that in books like Thy Kingdom Come and the Free Church Report. And you can look it up. And you can see where we got it. And we condensed it down so it's not the huge volume of sets like the Covenants of the Gods originally was. It was like 70 to 100 pages per chapter. And I reduced it down to no more than 5,000 words per chapter. So that each chapter could fit almost in a 12-page booklet. Because it's too much. There's enough there that if it's being written on your heart to start following Christ, following the ways that Jesus spoke of, that John spoke of, that the prophet spoke of, if you actually want to be a doer of the word, this is how you do it. You gather together with other men who are seeking enlightenment in God's eyes. You want to eat of the tree of life by caring for one another. Because you have to care about your neighbor as much as yourself. That's part of the law. In order to do that, you have to gather together to care. I mean, it's real easy to sit back and think about saving people and who are drowning in the sea. But that doesn't save anybody. You actually have to go out there and get in the water. And you have to start caring for one another. So that's what a core is for. That's what a congregation of record for. It's not an unincorporated association. It's because as soon as you do that, you take on legally the responsibilities of everybody else in your association. You can be sued for what they do. You don't want that. You want to be a free assembly where you come together and you decide to do stuff, and if they decide to do something else, you just don't do it. You do what you decide to do, and you guys have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, learning to love one another. That's what Christ was preaching. He wasn't preaching to go down to a church and sit in a pew or a cushioned seat and listen to a guy talk for an hour and a half about how you're saved. That's not what Christ was talking about. That's not being the doer of the word.
I want you to start realizing that we haven't been taught the truth and the way and the life that Christ came to teach us. That the ministers that should be ministers of the truth for us have been liars, have been deceivers. But sometimes that's because they were deceived. But the deception has crept in and deceived us and made us something less than what Christianity is really all about. It has not perfected us. It has made us workers of iniquity. And we need to repent of that. We need to turn around. We need to go the other way. We need to establish Christ in our hearts and in our minds by doing what he said to do. And this is what this core process is, an opportunity to do. If you join a core, are you saved? No. It's just a means, it's a tool by which you can seek the salvation of Christ. Because it's not those who say they believe in Jesus, but those who do it the will of the Father. Jesus said that. And if any minister tries to tell you that all you have to do is say these words, make a confession of faith, he's deceiving you. When Paul was talking about that, he was talking about people that were doers of the word. And he understood that profession of belief was action. And we'll talk about that in our series on Hebrews. And we've already talked about it in our series on Romans that is already posted and available through the Living Network. So go to thelivingnetwork.org and ask them, how do I hear the 20-hour series or 22-hour series on Romans for free? Because you can download that for free. But it's not, I don't want you sitting around listening to all these recordings, these hundreds and hundreds of hours of explaining what the gospel really was, or just reading the books, which you can also download for free. I want you to become doers of the word, where you're actually gathering together and trying to become the social welfare system of a society of people that are doers of the word. So as the one person said, do you just let them starve? The lazy starve? Yeah, you let the lazy starve. And like I said, like that puppy that I talked about earlier, they'll be wagging their tails and they'll be anxious to work. They won't be sitting around. Oh, you'll hear lots of whining and crying. They'll go to bed whimpering. I know you can't go cold turkey on this. You will go cold turkey on it eventually. Because in a twinkling of an eye, the system will fail. And people will be out destroying everything. And going absolutely nuts and crazy. But if you've already, you know, those of you who've listened to our show on quantum and string theory will understand that this is not just about, you know, governments and regulations and rules and posturing, and any more than salvation is about saying magic words or going through magic rituals. And if we do these rituals, then we will be saved. It's not about that. It's about actual spiritual commitment. The covenant is to write his laws upon your hearts and upon your minds. And we'll cover that in Hebrews. Because Hebrews is just repeating what's in the Old Testament, talking about this covenant where he writes his laws, his ordinances, on your heart and your mind. You just know where to be. You know what date to be. You know when to gather. You don't have to have external guidelines. You know. You don't have to study and study and study and study, because every man will just know. Because you will be spiritually enlightened. But not if you're not doers of the word. So what's important? You know, Jesus talks about the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath, most people don't even know what that means. Sabbath is about debt. Keeping the Sabbath is about not spending money you don't have. Not spending the money for today that you have to make tomorrow. It's about making and doing the work today and then taking your rest. That's the order of the Sabbath. First you do the work, then you take the rest. Not going to debt. That's what Sabbath is all about. And if you're in debt, you're not keeping the Sabbath. I don't care what day, what calendar you use. And the fact is, I don't know anybody who isn't in debt, because every one of you have been citizens of the United States, or citizens of Australia, or citizens of England, and all, or citizens of New Zealand, or citizens of, I don't know, can think of all the countries. And they're all in debt. So you're all in debt. And people always saying, well, how do you get out of the system? You don't. You're in debt. You're merchandise. How does merchandise get out of, you know, off the shelf? You're merchandise. You're back sold into bondage. You don't get out. Unless you come out like the Levites with nothing. Not even your underwear. That's right. They came out naked with no authority. They came out because Moses called them out. Well, Christ is calling you out to be a minister, maybe. But you got to come out on his terms. And you come out with nothing. And you go back in to serve according to the ways of Christ. And your ministers are not doing that. Your ministers have betrayed Christ. And they've betrayed you. And they've betrayed their own souls. And they've led you back into the bondage and become workers of iniquity. But you can turn around, and that means coming together and learning to care about one another, becoming that government of the people, for the people, and by the people, based on faith, hope, and charity, and not upon force. Not praying to men who call themselves benefactors, not making men of the earth your father, but becoming the natural fathers. There are no deadbeat dads in the kingdom. Cannot be any deadbeat dads in the kingdom. We all need to be doing what is right and righteous, because that's the second part of the instruction given to us by Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, is to seek the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God, the right not to be the merchandise of other men, not to be the human resources of other men. But we also have to seek the righteousness of God, which is that we must tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That all allows us to put off suffering for a later time. And many want that suffering to be paid by others, even their children, so they can have what they want now. That is not only not love, or loving thy neighbor as thyself, it is cursing your children. The same Peter who warned us about this becoming merchandise through covetousness, he says, they will make merchandise of you, human resources, surety for debt. The same Peter who said we would become this merchandise, collateral for debt, also warned us in 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices cursed children. What did he mean? Cursed children. Well, that's what you've done. And until you repent of that and start tending to the weightier matters, that cannot be undone, even by saying you believe in Jesus. And we'll tell you exactly what he meant by that when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom. So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. What was Peter talking about in 2nd chapter, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery? Adultery, most of the time when you talk about adultery in the Bible, it's talking about national adultery. They're talking about adulterating your rights, adulterating your flesh. They're talking about adulterating your relationships with God and with your community as well as your wife. They're not just talking about sexual adultery because you're having relationships outside of matrimony. They're talking about adulterating what God intended. And you do that in many ways. Many of the things, you know, like stealing. In order to steal something, you have to covet it first. Yet there's another whole commandment about not coveting. You see, so why do they have that? Because they're all overlapping. Everything. It's through covetousness that they make merchandise of you. It's through covetousness that they draw you into these covenants with other gods. This is why this overlapping is why Christ can reduce all the commandments down into two commandments. To love God and to love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love your neighbor, you won't covet your neighbor's goods. You won't pray to men who exercise authority and call themselves benefactors, who are the fathers of the earth, who will take from your neighbor. You won't be doing that. You see? It's that simple. And so the reason they have 10 commandments instead of 2 is because you needed it explained. The reason they have 700 statutes is you needed the 10 commandments explained. It wasn't to create more rules to bind you up. It was to explain the precept upon precept. But you don't even need those explained if God is writing his laws upon your heart and upon your mind. You will just know that's not right. That's not right. Is it right to covet your neighbor's goods, to send men to your neighbor's house and force them to contribute to your welfare? No. Is it right to borrow against the future of your children to provide benefits for yourself and even for your children today? Everybody who sends their kids to public school curses their children because they all operate on debt. They all operate outside of the precepts of the Sabbath because you don't work and then earn your education. You get your education, you owe them back. This is magnified with student loans, one of the big culprits of modern debt. Dave Ramsey talks about it all the time. It's stupid, 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 he says. You know, that you owe $150,000 of debt on a degree in French poetry. And I use that example from Groundhog's Day, but, you know, maybe it's psychology or whatever. You have no skills, but you have a degree, you know, in whatever. And most of it's abomination anyway, because they've been lying to you about what's in the books, and they've been doing that for years, and we show you that in our series and our pamphlets, Schools to Fool. Somebody's been tampering with the books that you're studying in an educational system. I have a huge collection that I've made over the years and from thrift stores, very cheap collection of school books showing you that they've changed history as you see it. By changing the history books. And people actually who work for government have exposed that plot. But the media doesn't tell you, but we do. Because we're in the truth business. Except we don't sell it. We give it away. Because people just get it. They don't really realize how much they're missing. But anyway, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, he says, having their eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin. They're compelled. The lust has taken over. They cannot cease from sin. What is sin? Sin of coveting. And he goes on to tell you, beguiling unstable souls. And this is going to be really important. We're going to give you this, hopefully before the end of the show, why you can't afford to be an unstable soul. I'll give you some modern examples that I've seen right here in this community and tell you some more of those stories that so many people want to always hear that I get tired of telling because I never know, didn't I tell you this already? So anyway, beguiling unstable souls. You don't want to be one of those unstable souls. You want the stability and you want to be a stable soul. How do you do that? You start listening and doing what the rock told you to do. And depending upon the rock he told you to depend upon to do it. I'll explain that. Some of you already probably are following me and tracking. He goes on to say, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Covetous practices. You mean like sending your kids to public school, applying for WIC, applying for welfare, applying for food stamps, depending upon benefits that are provided to you by men who exercise authority. You want those benefits, and so therefore you covet your neighbor's goods, and so that you look to other people to provide you with those benefits. And that's a covetous practice. And then he says, cursed children. How do you do that? If you're in debt and Social Security is bankrupt because all governments are in debt, you know, national insurance, I can't think of all the different names they have in different countries, all these countries. And I'm apolitical. I don't want to change those governments. I want to change your hearts. You know, every time somebody takes their kids and teaches them at home, that takes the burden off of the government. So I'm actually their ally. They should love what I have to say. Because I'm saying, take back your responsibilities. Pay your tally of bricks. Start gleaning in the fields at night. Gleaning in the fields at night for your straw. I mean, start looking to one another to provide your benefits. Help one another. Home educate. Single parent, get together in a core congregation of record. And they will help you home educate your children. If they don't, then they're not seeking the kingdom. At least not the righteousness of it. So, because the government is in debt and broke, to take any benefit whatsoever, is to add to the debt. That's right. You're adding to the debt that your children will have to pay. You're cursing your children with debt. I don't collect Social Security. I'm not going to curse my children with debt. Now, you may not be able to do that yet. You may have to continue to collect Social Security, but you better be working. If you're on Social Security, you got lots of spare time. Start looking and finding other souls who want to follow what Christ said to do, who want to be and do what John the Baptist said to do, who want to seek the kingdom, turn around and seek a government based on faith, hope, and charity, where every member of that government, every elder member of that government, and I use the word member in a very general sense because they're not really members. They're just on this same road to the kingdom of heaven. Every one of them is striving daily, sacrificing daily, to create a system based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. That's what you need to be doing. If you're not doing that, you're cursing your children. If you're taking benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, you're cursing your children because they're all in debt. The modern church has preached a watered-down, do-nothing gospel that is void of the essential instructions of Christ. There will be no liberty if we will not live by that perfect law of liberty and turn away from the socialism in every form and take back our responsibilities to our family and our neighbor. That's just the way it is. Nothing I can do about it. I wrote earlier this week on Facebook on October 3rd that on this day in history, in 1776, Congress borrowed $5 million to halt the rapid depreciation of paper money in the colonies. Through quantitative easing, we're talking billions and billions of dollars, which is going to lead to an even more rapid depreciation of paper money, which you already see. You used to be able to buy a gallon of gas for a quarter. Now it costs more. That's just inflation. They monetize oil in dollars, so when oil seems to go up, it's because the dollar is going down in value. So it takes more of them to buy the same amount of stuff. Oil is not going up. Dollars are going down. In order to halt or slow down, they call it quantitative easing, slow down the rapid depreciation of paper money in America, they borrow more and more. But now they're up to billions. It's like you're free-falling. You know, if you fall off every 22 feet, you've sped up. You're speeding up. Gravity is speeding you up. And there's no chute. there is no salvation but Christ, and you're not doing what Christ said. You're saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what Christ said. The government is doing nothing to halt the depreciation. They're actually increasing your free fall. Shutting down or not shutting down will make no difference. But it is a wake-up call, and that could be important to you as an individual. People have to change and see the problem, but unfortunately most will not, and the problem is us. We have been slothful in the ways of Christ. They push like on Facebook as if that actually does something. Now, it's fine to do that. But you have to actually, you know, go to thelivingnetwork.org, join the local groups in your area, form real core congregations, and start contributing to ministers who want to help you and find others who want to help you and gather together with those that want to do what Christ said. You don't want to gather together with survivalists who just want to survive. I mean, that's their motivation. They want to survive. Because when things get hard, you're on the menu. They will take from you because their motivation is to save themselves. Christ's motivation was to save you. If Christ is in you, you gather together to save others. You don't go to church to feel good. You go to church to be good, to be righteous, which includes rebuking one another. And it does include occasionally helping one another. You know, but don't help the lazy. Help the lazy stop being lazy. Let them go hungry for a couple of days and they'll come wagging their tails like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Like that dog. You have to become doers of the word. You have to be like prodigal sons heading back. You know, people won't even take the time to learn about the alternative system of the kingdom. And like I said, all it is, you know, 10 families gather together and pick a minister, and we link that minister up with other ministers who are doing the same thing. And those ministers are health, educational, welfare. They're FEMA. They're your emergency response team. They're your, what do they call it? You know, your county agent. You know, people want to, you know, go back to the county governments and all that stuff. Those people in those governments, they don't want to do this. Actually, you would be surprised at where you're going to find. You're going to find atheists who are closer to the kingdom than people going to church. Because a lot of atheists are atheists because they've thrown out God with false religion. They see the hypocrisy of false religion. And they threw out God when they threw that out. They'll get it. Eventually, because, I mean, look at what Jesus is saying. He says, you come into the kingdom, and they say, us? Why us? They don't know they're believers. They don't even know they believe in Jesus Christ. Because it's written in their hearts to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but not in their heads, so they don't have that terminology. As a matter of fact, you mentioned church, and they start gagging. And I don't blame them. I did that when I first started preaching again. I couldn't hardly use the word church. I wanted to use the word ecclesia. Because so many people are using the word church and it does not mean what they are saying. They use the word religion. You know, this is why I wrote those articles on News with Views, and you can see them on our website. The real meaning of religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. James told you that. The definition 200 years ago for religion, when they wrote the Constitution, was how you performed your duty to God and your fellow man. You do it with a gun that you make somebody else carry and kick in doors and enforce contributions, or you'll take their house away so that you can have free education. And you say, well, that's the way we always does it. That's the way the government does it. That's the way they do it. It's not the way Christ does it. You want to be a follower of Christ? Or not. Christ doesn't do that. Christ says you're supposed to take care of one another with love. John the Baptist, until John the Baptist, everybody thought we could do it through force. And most people, like I say, won't take the time to learn the alternative. They want to believe they've already got it. You don't got it. If you had it, you wouldn't be making such a mess. You wouldn't be free-falling towards an absolute economic disaster, social disaster, political disaster, and even geological disaster. You would be preparing to ride through the days to come. Not to save yourself, but to save others, because that's the character of Christ. Rome was doing the exact same thing we see the governments of the world doing today. They took the silver out of the Roman silver coin. They borrowed money. They tried to create universal health care to appease the people. All these things we explain in the books. We show you that that's what was going on. You're doing the same thing. What you need to be doing is what the Christians were doing. When Rome fell, the Christians did well. Unfortunately, today, Christians are not doing what the early Christians were doing. Instead of getting cast out of the system of Corban, set up by Herod, or the one set up by Augustus and Tiberius, you're depending on it. Stop depending on it. Most modern Christians have become socialists and do very much contrary to the decrees of Christ. Yet they say they believe in Christ and that they're Christians. Christian, by definition, is someone who follows what Christ said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But you're not doing that. So I'm suspecting you don't really love Christ. You don't really love what he was talking about. But I know some of you, now that you're beginning to hear this, are going to be doing it. But you've got to do it in earnest. You've really got to make this your hobby, your habit, your waking moment, breathing and eating and sleeping the kingdom. You got to go and take care of your family and all that stuff. But if you start doing this together with others, the burden will not be so great. I put almost full time into this. But I still have to make a living on the side. And we've been doing that here for years and years and years. But we need more and more ministers who are doing this full time. And you need to hear other men sharing their experiences with you about their personal revelation to help encourage you to care for others. Not to encourage you so you feel good. You know, I'm not interested in tickling your ears. I'm interested in dope slapping you. It is time for these people who think they're Christians to repent. And anyone else, I don't care if you think you're a Christian or not, or a Jew or Muslim or a Buddhist, who will see the truth to wake up and change their ways. Because just as Rome fell, so will the world system of today fall again. And you need to be ready, and the only way to be ready is to do what Christ said, to do what Moses said, to do what Abraham said, which these religions that go all the way back to Abraham, as I said earlier, are not doing. Now, they are doing some. All churches do some. I mean, actually, somebody has started an atheist church now, and they all get together, and they sit, and they listen to somebody talk, and they have a great time. And you might as well go to that church if that's all your church is going to do. If you're not going to actually do what Christ was doing and saying, you might as well go to that church. Because you're already taking his name in vain. That's another one of those commandments that you're sinning with. Now, I know I'm hard on a lot of people when I talk about all these things, but I'm showing you a real solution here that Christ was trying to show you. And, you know, my talk is often a dope slap to say that you've screwed up. But that's good news. That's part of the good news, to know that you screwed up. Because with that news, you can do something about it. So anyway, I already mentioned several times, go to thelivingnetwork.org, all one word, thelivingnetwork.org, and it'll take you to another page, probably. We'll eventually have a page on that website. We already do have one. And we have courses that we give on a regular basis. We have an order group that is starting to learn more and more about this. But we have congregations of record, and that's really where you need to go, because I can't be teaching everybody what I know. And the fact is, we have ministers now that are learning things that they teach me. They help me. Because no man is really the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. But in order to find access to that Holy Spirit, you need to be like that prodigal son and turn around and head back. And that means that you actually have to put your feet in motion. Put your hands to the plow. You have to actually start doing the work. And probably the most important work right now is to find those other lost souls. The society has crumbled around us spiritually. You know, and I talked about, you know, that phrase where it talks about the soul. I can't remember what the phrase was now. let's see if we can find that. But anyway, in that Second Peter, with a covetous practice, but it talks about unstable souls. What's happening? And this is on the spiritual level now. We're going to talk about these physical things on the spiritual level real quick here. What's happening is there is an army dividing, and one side is following after Satan in the spiritual realm, and it's taking physical people with it, and it's plugging them into all these evil things, and you see in the video games and the violence and the disrespect and all that stuff. And on the other side, there are people that are beginning to plug into the ways of Christ. Now, this is like those seeds sown. They're not all going to grow up because they're not rooting themselves down. They're falling on rocky ground. They're falling on dry ground. They're falling where birds eat them up. But some of them are going to need to root, and that rooting is doing, putting your feet in motion. And you need to do that so that you become that stable soul, because right now you're the unstable soul. But anyway, we'll talk more about this next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.